Hi there, club members, and welcome to this week's Lunch and Learn. What we're talking about today are values. Many of you may have heard about company corporate values, but how do we make them relevant to dental practices? How do they drive behavior? And how do we actually implement them in a way that they are alive, living thing, part of your practice? I'll also be sharing with you the four values that I feel are crucial to dental practice success. So let's get started. So what are practice values to start off with? They are the beliefs, the philosophies, and principles that drive your practice. They impact the employee experience you deliver, as well as the relationship you develop with your patients, partners, and shareholders of the practice. And I've popped that image in there. I saw it on Facebook just this past week, and it really speaks volumes, doesn't it? I think a picture tells a thousand words at times. This one is more talking about a mission, but you could also attribute this as a way of visualizing what values can mean for your company. Look at this pride of lions all moving with such determined behavior towards that same goal. It's just such a wonderful image. And that's what we want to do when we're developing the values of your organization. We want to be able to develop a team that so live the values of your organization, you become different from the rest because of these identifying values for your practice. So when you're thinking about the values of the practice and trying to align your team with them, I want you to picture this pride of lions. It's just so impressive. So we're going to talk about what values to actually have within your practice, but I want to just talk a little bit about how values actually drive behavior. And let's first of all think about that as individuals. So many of you would have seen the iceberg before. Everything above the water is stuff that we are aware and conscious of, and everything below the water is something within our subconscious or our unconscious way of behaving. And you'll see underneath with the unconscious mind, the things we don't even quite ever acknowledge, they are our values, beliefs, assumptions, past experiences, and relationships. So throughout our life, from birth, and some say even from in utero, while our mothers were pregnant with us. But let's have a think about our lives on this planet as the individual that we are. We go through different experiences. Those experiences, 20 different people could have the identical experience. However, the way we process that experience determines our experience of life. And the way we process that experience is going to be unique to us because we filter all of our experiences through what we have believed to date, what we value, what our beliefs are, what we assume. All of our past experiences play a role in how we experience future experiences and all of our relationships as well. And so we're functioning from this unconscious space, and the stuff that is in our subconscious or our unconscious mind is enormous, just like the iceberg. It's absolutely enormous. But these things absolutely drive behavior. In a corporate situation, have a look at this. So this is a pyramid of behavior. Our experiences filter through our beliefs and values, and it then drives our actions and behavior, and that's where we get the results from. And so if you don't like the result your business is getting for a particular reason, if you don't like the result, we need to address not just the actions and behavior, but what's driving those actions and that behavior. And that is the beliefs and values. And we develop our beliefs and values based upon how we process our experiences in life. And so I hope that indicates to you how deeply we hold our values and how it becomes the driver of our behavior, both as an individual in our own personal lives, but also as a team in the company practice environment. So let me give you an example of some company values. The first list of values that a particular company has that I want you to contemplate are integrity, collaboration, excellence, accountability, and service. Now I want you to imagine the kind of company that would hold these values so dear. The kind of company that would list these values as a way of driving employee behavior, as a way of formulating the experience of their customers. All of their systems will be put in place within that organization so they absolutely meet the values of integrity, collaboration, excellence, accountability, and service. Now, let me tell you which company hold these values so dear. A bank. One of the big banks here in Australia that after an investigation, the investigating body found that these values meant nothing to these banks, that it all came down to money. And so that's an example of how company values are just words on a paper. They are meaningless because it's not reflected in their systems, in their employee behavior, and in the relationship they develop with their clients. You want your practice values to be so alive and well in your business that they distinguish you from everybody else, that patients would read your company values and say, yes, that is the dental practice that I go to. That'll make sense to me. It's consistent. So this is an example of how values are meaningless to an organization. Let's check out another series of values for another company. This particular company have the values of creating a culture of warmth and belonging where everyone is welcome, acting with courage, challenging the status quo, and finding new ways to grow our company and each other. Being present, connecting with transparency, dignity, and respect. Delivering our very best in all we do, holding ourselves accountable for results. And the company that holds those values is Starbucks. And Starbucks, for sure, that very first one just rings true, creating a culture of warmth and belonging where everyone is welcome. And so that is an example where the company is actually living out their values. And this is what we're trying to strive towards within this Lunch and Learn and your practice values that you may end up developing within your organization. So let's have a look at the types of values that are around. First of all, we've got core values. Now, core values are deeply ingrained within your organization. They drive and guide all company actions. They are inherent. They are sacrosanct. They are never compromised. Like if one of these values is broken by an employee, you may be sacked. It's a sackable offense. Then we've got aspirational values. Aspirational values are the ones that you actually need, but you are lacking. You'd love to have them, but you know you're not there yet. It could end up being a new value that you bring into play because you've got a new strategy afoot. Maybe you're going from a smaller organization, a smaller practice, to a multi-practitioner, larger practice. And so all of a sudden, your current values are becoming slightly irrelevant and you need to start adopting new values. And so they're aspirational. That's what we're heading towards. Other types of values are permission to play values. And permission to play values really are what the accepted norm of behavior from employees are. And we know this sometimes with the permission to play, some practices let their employees try run different ways of doing things just to be a little bit creative. Sometimes they're very strict in terms of this is the way we do things here. How about the way you celebrate as a group? Do you celebrate like a bunch of teenagers on spring break? or do you celebrate in a much more sensible professional style? So it's the accepted norm of behavior within your practice. We've also got accidental values, and this is what is probably quite prevalent in many dental practices and also many companies. This is what was in place for Commonwealth Bank of Australia and many of the other banks, the accidental values. So they're not cultivated by the leadership. They take hold over time. They can be good, but they can also be bad. And they usually reflect the common interests of the employees. So the employees are driving the way to behave within the organization rather than it coming from the top down. Now, remember, values need to come from the top down because the values are driven by and developed by the owners who are in charge of everything ultimately. The strategy moving forward, the types of business practices they're going to be putting out there to the community, the type of clients they're trying to appeal to and attract within the organization, how this practice will be viable. And so much goes into that thought process, so much business knowledge, research, advice that they've received from other places, all of that information that most of the employees are not privy to and don't need to be privy to. That's why they're employees. They're not the owners of the organizations, they're the employees of the organization. And so that's an important element to remember when you're thinking about the values. And this is where there's a Harvard Business Review article that I read on values, and it was called Making Your Values Mean Something by Patrick Lencioni. Values initiatives have nothing to do with building a consensus. They're about imposing a set of fundamental, strategically sound beliefs on a broad group of people. So there are many elements to practice management where collaboration is crucial for everyone to be happy moving forward. It helps create an environment where everyone can be efficient, productive, and happy. Everyone has a voice. Everyone has a sense of autonomy with certain elements of the practice. Values isn't one of them. Values is like the strategic approach that we're going to be using to make sure this business is viable. And that is done at the level of ownership. And so values, have a think to yourself. You can certainly get feedback from the people around you to inspire thought and to understand what's important to your employees. But within this article, this Harvard Business Review article, it does say to keep in mind, you may be asking feedback from employees that are, what they say, are on the wrong bus. They don't actually belong in your organization. And they may leave one day because they don't feel that they are a part of your organization. They don't have the same mission, the same purpose, the same set of values as you do. So you're asking the opinion of people that may be quite transient in your organization. And what you're trying to set up is a series of values that drives your organization forward, helps make it be a viable entity. So let's have a look at the four values that I think are crucial to dental practice success. The first one is professionalism. And I'm going to go through each one of these and describe it a little bit more so in detail. The next one is honesty. Number three, growth. And number four, caring. So let's have a look at these values one at a time. First of all, professionalism. Now, when I think of professionalism, I conjure up images in my brain, as you might as well. And this is what I believe to be effective professionalism being practiced within a dental surgery situation. First of all, attitude needs to be great. Positivity, being optimistic and bringing an upbeat energy to work. Appearance. I think appearance is really crucial. We are a health service after all. And so I've got here, make sure everyone's well-groomed. Wash. This means that you're regularly washing and styling your hair. You don't look all ratty. Using personal hygiene products, keeping clean, well manicured nails, and for men, shaving every day. Women have a light hand with makeup and perfume and covering up tattoos and removing unconventional piercings. This is what I believe to be professional and aligned with the health service profession. Neat, clean, and stylish attire. The surgery staff may be more in scrubs or gowns, but certainly reception, practice management, everyone in admin, professional stylish attire. Also, a professional person communicates effectively, so they are well spoken and easily understood. They listen to people with the intention of understanding them, and they speak with clarity and confidence. Another element of professionalism is competence. They possess the skills required to competently execute the responsibilities of their role. They are respectful. They show consideration and regard for superiors, for colleagues, patients, and other stakeholders to the practice. They show everybody respect who walks through those doors. They are ethical. They act in accordance with and defending that which is morally right. So again, when we're in charge of people's health, they put all that trust into us. And we need to honor that with a sense of ethical treatment of them. Also, reliable. Turning up to work on time, completing tasks efficiently, and responding to requests promptly. That's super important. Accountable. Being willing to answer for one's own actions and results, or the failure to take actions and create results. So take that responsibility, take that accountability. They are composed, so they keep their emotions and expressions and actions in control when faced with difficult situations. And so we are often faced with difficult patients. Something may go wrong in the surgery and you don't want your dental assistant to go, "Oh my God, what just happened?" in front of the patient. You want people to be composed. We're always in charge. This is where you come to get effective healthcare. The second value that I think is crucial to a dental practice situation is honesty. Now, honesty is something that our parents try to instill in us very, very early. And it's like those core lessons around honesty really do send us off on a particular path in life. And if we're not caught out when we're young doing dishonest things and being made to feel accountable for those dishonest things, then it can be a dicey future for us. And so what is honesty? When I say honesty, what do I actually mean? And what I mean is speaking the truth. Speaking the truth in all instances. So that's bearing effective witness to a situation. If the boss came to you and said there was a bit of a dispute between this patient and this dentist, what actually happened? That you don't editorialize, you don't embellish, you just state the facts for what they are. And you also speak the truth. This is the honest truth, and that's what I speak. I don't embellish, I don't gossip, but I also don't lie either. Acting with integrity. Having a high degree of integrity and acting in accordance with that consistently all the time. Taking responsibility, absolutely being honest with yourself as well. Be on that self-awareness journey and be honest with yourself when you are reacting and responding to the people around you. Accepting accountability when things go wrong. Not being deceptive or fraudulent. You think of what honesty can mean to your organization. There are numerous ways in every organization where you can start to accept little white lies. You can start to accept just bending the truth a little bit. For example, when we're putting through item numbers through the HICAPS machine, adding another couple just to increase the rebate for the patient. The patient wins out. We don't lose out. What's the big deal? And I think honesty as a value needs to be instilled from the top down, that under no circumstances do we ever find it okay to even bend the truth, even if it seemingly is something where there is no victim to it. The next value, the third value, is growth. This is an enormous one for me. I would only ever recruit people on the value of growth. They need to be able to have that desire to become better, to improve. That's the only way our businesses, our practices will improve as well, as if we have got a collection of employees who each one of them, including the leaders, including the owners, all are on this journey of improvement. So constant and never-ending improvement. I've spoken about it many times in the past. I will continue speaking about it a lot because it's such a crucial element of progress within the organization. So I've got there too, the Kaizen, which is good change, that is continuous improvement. And the fourth value is caring. So a team that fosters great team culture is one that looks for ways to help, support, and cheer each other on. They want to have a positive impact on each other and are happy for each other's successes. Cultivating a culture of caring in your practice can be achieved with positive actions and shifts in behavior, such as focus on the strengths, not the weaknesses of the people around you. Celebrate wins, each other's wins. Put people first. This is how you can really foster this value. Put people first above the dollar. Show appreciation. Always be looking out for how people are doing wonderful things and acting in accordance with the policies and the processes of the practice, and say, "That's great. I love how you do that." If one particular person is spectacular on the phone, say, "That is spectacular. You sound tremendous on the phone. Thank you." So show appreciation for everybody. At the end of the day, thanks so much for all your efforts today. I really appreciate it. Be diligent in your hiring process. Make sure that you are hiring people who show evidence that they are a caring individual. And one of the best ways to determine that, because usually you don't get to see it until they're working in your practice, is to call their references and have it as one of your questions that you ask them. Did they have a caring nature? Were they generous of spirit with the people that they worked with? Did they show empathy and a caring support of the patients? So ask those questions during your hiring process. And build personal relationships with your colleagues. We care about the people that we like, and most people are likable. And so develop those personal relationships with the people in your organization to the point where you actually do care about them. It's not fake. It's not just put on. It's not just because it's a value of the practice, but you absolutely authentically care for other people. So when you think of a caring natured person, you are thinking of somebody who is supportive and loving and encouraging, and they're the cheerleader of others. So you want that as part of your values. That's again crucial when we're talking about patient care. Also, publicly acknowledge examples of caring. That's a great way of fostering that value and making sure everyone's on board. Oh, that's what caring is. Okay, that's good. I know what to do. Lead by example. Everything comes from the top down, and values are all about that. Lead by example. You don't want to be Commonwealth Bank. So bringing your practice values to life, how are we going to do that? Number one, you've got to bring clarity to the table. So gather your whole team together and hash this out. Take an hour, take 2 hours. Don't have it be just a 10-minute discussion. What your intention is that by the time this meeting, this brainstorming session is finished, everyone is very, very clear what our journey looks like moving forward. These are our values. This is how it's going to impact on our behavior. And this is what I'm required as an individual member of this team. This is how I'm supposed to be behaving moving forward. And so be very specific. Use examples such as, if caring is one of your values, use examples that when a patient rings up and they're in terrible pain, then be very empathetic over the phone. Show them that we care about that. Oh gosh, I'm so sorry that you're in pain. We never turn away anybody in pain. We will find a time for you. Don't stress. And so make sure that you're providing examples so all your team members are very, very clear about what is expected from them moving forward. The second thing, and you can do this as part of that brainstorming session, part of that values session, review your current systems and policies for alignment with your values. So if you have as one of your values, growth, constant and never-ending improvement, but you have a policy in place that forbids mistakes to be repeated, that's not in alignment with the value, because in order for us to grow, we need to make mistakes. So we need to shift our policy around mistakes, maybe introduce a policy around mistakes, because our accidental value is that we don't accept mistakes. It's not an intended value. It hasn't come from the leadership down, from the top down, but it's actually what we practice. And so we need to now put in place an effective mistakes policy so it is in line with our value of growth. And so review your current systems and policies, making sure they are actually aligned with your values. The third thing to do is talk these values up, reinforce them constantly. We need the repetition of information to lock it into our brains. And so talk them up all the time. When you are about to put in place a new policy, a new system, always start with the values first and talk through that process with your employees. I've put this system in place just so you're aware. This system's in place because our values are this, this, and this, and that's why the system has been created in this way. So talk them up, reinforce them constantly. Next thing, set the example. So have everyone responsible for setting the example for each other. Lead by example. Have the new values become the accepted norm because everyone is just doing it and taking responsibility for them. And absolutely acknowledge and reward the behaviors that you see are in alignment with the values. People need to know exactly, not just what they're doing that requires improvement. They need to know what they're doing right. Always reward the behaviors that you want repeated. And finally, your recruitment processes. Make sure your values are clarified during your recruitment process and not just something to read, but you are asking questions of that candidate to find out whether those values are in alignment with their values. If your values excite them, if they hear your values and they go, that's exactly the kind of place I want to work at, then they're going to be a good candidate moving forward. So I encourage you, if you are a practice owner out there and you don't have a series of values, you've got a series of accidental values that are functioning within your organization at the moment. Identify what those are. Use that as a starting place of developing what your values should be. Make sure your values are looking after the business and all of the stakeholders within it. And I want you to become excited by those values and then move through this process. So your team can come with you on the journey of making the values of your practice alive and well and directing the behaviors and the systems and the patient experience within your practice. I wish you all the very best with it. Please contact me if you need any assistance or need to discuss any element of this at all. And I look forward to seeing you next week. See you later.